Kansas Information Network News. I'm Lisa Rotman. Investigators continue to work to solve the deaths of two Emporia women.
The last information released through the Kiowa County, Colorado Sheriff's Office and the Colorado Bureau of Investigation said 39-year-old Amy Ford and 44-year-old Linda Estrada were both found south, almost 370 miles due west of Emporia. The Sheriff's Office says autopsy results will determine the official manner and cause of death, with no additional information to be released at this time because of an ongoing inquiry. For the Kansas Information Network, I'm Julio Flores.
Topeka Public Schools and the Kansas Children's Discovery Center teamed up on Tuesday night to host Indigenous Family Night, inviting TPS students to enjoy the play facility. The event was a way to welcome students with an Indigenous background back to school. This is Kansas Information Network News.
With today's inflation straining your budget, your Kansas Farm Bureau membership can help keep more money in your pocket. Get 15% off current published rates at Nextech Wireless. Special member pricing on select Granger products. Save on vacation and travel with Avis Budget and Choice Hotels. And join the Kansans who've switched to Kansas Farm Bureau health plans, who enjoy significant savings on nationwide medical health care coverage. Join today. For a full list of benefits, visit kfb.org/benefits.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-457-6060. That's 1-800-457-6060. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-457-6060. That's 1-800-457-6060.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
Good afternoon, I'm Natalie Hadley with your KQNK News, brought to you by the Norton County Hospital, providing the best care right here at home. A new labor report revealed the current annual rate of degree and certificate completion at Kansas colleges and universities would be insufficient to meet anticipated growth in demand for young, educated workers and could leave the state's economy with an estimated 34,000 shortfall by the end of this decade. Analysis by the Institute for Policy and Social Research at the University of Kansas delved into challenges of surging higher education attainment in Kansas. Despite a declining percentage of high school graduates interested in college, the out-mitigation of Kansas college graduates to Missouri, Colorado, and Texas, and the lack of competitiveness of salaries paid to Kansas workers in engineering, business, and other fields compared to peers in nearby states, and the failure of state lawmakers, education leaders, and employers to address labor gaps, especially demand for recipients of bachelor's degrees, could impede economic development through 2030. Donna Ginther, the KU Distinguished Professor of Economics and Director of the Research Institute, said the report showed Kansas could add 54,000 jobs requiring a post-secondary degree from 2020 to 2030, and this evaluation took into account the likely exit from the Kansas labor force of 180,000 people with post-secondary degrees due to retirement or moving to other states. Overall, Kansas would need to fill 234,000 jobs with new graduates over the 10 years. Ginther said at the current pace, about 200,000 new post-secondary graduates could be expected to stay in Kansas through 2030, and that would mean Kansas had to come up with an additional 34,000 credentialed workers to satisfy projected growth in jobs. Governor Kelly, alongside the Kansas Infrastructure Hub, or KIH, announced the launch of the Build Kansas Fund, which provides state matching dollars to Kansas communities for infrastructure projects approved under the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, or Bill. The Build Kansas Fund will invest $200 million directly into Kansas communities to support projects that include water, transportation, energy, cybersecurity, and broadband through fiscal year 2027. Governor Kelly announced the creation of the KIH in 2022 to ensure Kansas has an effective and efficient distribution of the funds received from Bill. The Kansas Infrastructure Hub, a coordinating body comprised of representatives from the Kansas Department of Administration, Agriculture, Commerce, Health and Environment, and Transportation, along with the Kansas Corporation Commission and the Kansas Water Office, will manage the Build Kansas Fund, offering technical assistance, tracking funds, and promoting grant opportunities. Eligible entities include Kansas state agencies, counties, municipalities, special districts, community organizations, nonprofits, and federally recognized tribes that have or intend to apply for a federal bill program requiring a non-federal match. The Build Kansas Fund application is live, and entities can apply via the Kansas Infrastructure Hub website at kshub.org. The USDA's Farm Service Agency announced that it's updating the Livestock Indemnity Program, or LIP, payment rate to support livestock producers in the Midwest who have lost cattle to the extreme heat and humidity experienced this summer. To help indemnify ranchers to reflect a trend towards higher cattle weights in feedlots, the 2023 LIP payment rate for beef calves over 800 pounds will increase from $1,244 per head to $1,618, which is an increase of $374. LIP provides benefits to livestock owners and some contract growers for livestock deaths exceeding normal mortality from eligible adverse weather events, certain predation losses, and reduced sale prices due to injury from an eligible loss. And indemnity payments are made at a rate of 75% of the prior year's average fair market value of the livestock. The updated LIP payment rate is effective immediately and will be applied retroactively starting January 1, 2023 for all eligible causes of loss, including excessive heat, tornado, winter storms, and other qualifying adverse weather. Producers who have already received LIP payments for 2023 losses will receive an additional payment if it applies to commensurate with this updated rate. And for details on eligibility and payment rates, you can review the LIP fact sheet. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Norton County Hospital and Medical Clinics would like to wish our Blue Jays and Huskies the best of luck this school year. Remember to please wear your safety gear properly and stay plenty hydrated. Parents, we want to remind you that our medical clinic is here to keep your athletes healthy year-round. Our physical therapy department is also available to help students perform at their very best. Call the medical clinic at 785-877-3305 or physical therapy at 785-874-2222. Go fight, win, and make Norton County proud.
The results for the Norton Blue Jay cross country teams for the Oberlin Invitational that was held on Tuesday, September 26th, includes the girls' team results, with Norton placing first with 25 points, Oakley placing second with 43 points, and Goodland placing third with 55 points. The individual results for the Norton girls: Emma Collins placed first, Mackenzie Clydesdale placed fourth, Savannah Rumback placed sixth, Ainsley Collins placed 10th, Lorelei Granberry placed 18th, and Natalie Simmons placed 21st. Coach George Rossi said he felt the girls came out with a good performance on Tuesday. Emma Collins ran a very smart race, showing a lot of determination to pull away from the second and third runners the last mile, securing her third overall win of the season. Mackenzie ran one of her better times of the year to secure a top five finish. Savannah ran a minute faster on Tuesday than she did last year, as did Ainsley Collins. Lorelei Granberry gutted it out after being sick last week, and Natalie also beat her time by a couple of minutes from last year. Coach said they absolutely must close down their 1-5 gap in future races, and the girls know that, and that will be their focus going into the MCL meet next week. The boys' team results include Hoxie placing first with 38 points, Norton placing second with 43 points, Oakley placing third with 59 points, and Colby placing fourth with 76 points. The individual results for the Norton boys: Aston Katz placed third. Tyler Stewart placed sixth. Derek Clydesdale placed ninth. Matthew Dick placed 15th. Jace Bailey placed 17th. Eli Miller placed 25th. And Brexton Eisenhagen placed 26th. And for the junior varsity boys, Michael Urban placed first with a personal record. Dorian Garza placed 6th, and Cody Waite placed 10th. Coach Rossi said the men came out and ran a productive race on Tuesday, and it was their goal to challenge the number one ranked 2A team, Hoxie, and they were able to get closer to them. Aston was a firm third place. Tyler had one of his best finishes in his career to edge out another runner after side-by-side sprinting for the last 100 meters. Derek and Matthew also ran very competitive races. Jace was near his personal record. Eli and Brexton battled to the very finish. Michael Urban was right behind Eli and Brexton and won the junior varsity race. Dorian ran well, and Cody was able to run after being injured for several weeks. As with the girls, the boys must close the gap with the top five runners, and Coach Rossi said he thinks that they are nowhere near their potential with this group. He said they must believe that they can achieve their goals, and it's going to take every ounce of effort that they have. Norton tennis coach Bill Brockelman reported that the girls competed really well at the Trigo tournament on Saturday, September 23rd, which they deem their mock regionals, as every team that will be at regionals was at this tournament, minus Colby and Goodland. Norton had one medalist with Leanne Beichmann finishing fifth place in the singles division, and the rest played well but fell short of earning a medal. Alexis Wanderley and Tana Briner finished 7th in the doubles division, and Layla Puga finished 11th in the singles division. The girls will be playing again this Saturday at League in Phillipsburg. Coach Brockelman said of the junior varsity that they shifted the girls around a little to get some different looks last week and had some success in two of their categories. Everyone placed in the top five. Lily Puga finished 2nd in the singles 1 position, and Allison Hale finished 4th in singles 2. Divine Newsom and Riley Lanier finished 5th in doubles 1, and Natalie Evely and Ellie Frick finished 2nd in doubles 2, and as a team, the girls finished 3rd. The junior varsity will have their final matches this upcoming Saturday at Colby. Funeral services for John Ankenman, 87, will be held at 10:30 a.m. on Friday, September 29th at the Plummer Gobber Funeral Home in Norton, and burial will follow in the Norton Cemetery. Visitation with the family present will be from 5 to 7 p.m. tomorrow, Thursday, September 28th, at the funeral home, and memorial contributions may be made to Farm Rescue or to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital and may be sent in care of Plummer Gobber Funeral Home in Norton. Condolences may be left for the family at plummergobber.com. I'm Natalie Hadley. Your KQNK News was brought to you by the Norton County Hospital. You can call the Norton County Hospital at 785-877-3351 for all of your health care needs.
They're your life goals. Shouldn't your financial advisor take the time to get to know them? I do. I'm Philip Eisenhagen, your Norton Edward Jones financial advisor. The most important goals I have are yours. That's why I take the time to understand your needs so I can recommend personalized strategies with your goals in mind. Contact me today, 785-877-3373. That's 877-3373. Making time to take the time. That's how Edward Jones makes sense of investing. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Your time is valuable, so let Click Your Heels Travel do the work for you. Let us know where you want to go, what you want to do, and who you want to do it with, and we'll take it from there. Whether it's planes, trains, ships, or automobiles, we've got you covered. Book domestic and international travel from right here at home. Travel, it's what we do at Click Your Heels Travel by Dream Vacations, locally owned and family operated.
Kansas Agriculture Network News.
Good day, everyone. My name is Slade Wiley here on the Kansas Agriculture Network. Now, President Biden late Tuesday afternoon vetoed SJ's Resolution 9, which would have nullified the administration's rule listing the northern distinct population segment of the lesser prairie chicken as threatened and the southern district segment as endangered under the Endangered Species Act. In the veto statement from the White House, it stated the resolution would undermine America's proud wildlife conservation traditions, risk the extinction of a once abundant American bird, and create uncertainty for landowners and industries who would have been working for years to forge the durable, locally led conservation strategies that this rule supports. Kansas 1st District Congressman Tracy Mann and Kansas U.S. Senator Roger Marshall both had introduced the bicameral joint resolution of disapproval under the Congressional Review Act to strike down the listing of the lesser prairie chicken. Both were disappointed in President Biden's veto announcement and that President Biden had refused to listen to Congress and thus refusing to listen to America's agriculture and energy producers. The Department of Agriculture on Tuesday announced it is giving an estimated 3,000 more school districts in high-need areas the option to serve breakfast and lunch to all students at no cost. The expansion is possible through Community Eligibility Provision, commonly known as CEP. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says the effort will decrease childhood hunger, improve child health and student readiness, and put our nation on the path to better nutrition and wellness. CEP is a simplified meal service option that allows schools to provide meals at no cost to all students without requiring families to apply for free and reduced-priced meals. Previously, at least 40% of students had to live in households participating in federal assistance programs for a school or school district to be eligible for CEP. This final rule lowers that threshold from 40% to 25%. You're listening to the Kansas Ag Network.
ValleyVet.com. ValleyVet.com.
Fall calving season is upon us, and Valley Vet Supply stands ready with the calving equipment you need. They have great prices on calf pullers. Be prepared with OB chains and accessories. You'll want a colostrum replacement product on hand, too. Valley Vet has Colostrix products to supplement or replace poor quality colostrum. The friendly staff at Valley Vet can help guide you in selecting ID tags for your specific livestock operation. At ValleyVet.com, you'll find your every animal need. Valley Vet Supply knows no zip codes and will get meds and more delivered to your door for all of the animals in your house or barn. Visit ValleyVet.com, your one-stop shop for meds and more, or shop their store in Marysville.
Valley Vet Supply. Give them a try.
Kansas Agriculture Network weather.
I'm meteorologist Ann Holliday here on the Kansas Agriculture Network. We've been taking a look at the GFS computer model. What that does is it gives us sort of a crystal ball view of what type of storm systems are coming down the line. We know for now things are going to stay fairly dry, so, and in fact, it's going to be breezy and warm with temperatures running above average through this weekend into early next week. It's next week when we start to see some changes. As soon as Tuesday night into Wednesday, a trough of low pressure emerges across the southwestern part of the country. This will send some disturbances our way. Looks like a chance of rain probably about Wednesday, October 4th. Another system a little bit more widespread into central and eastern Kansas early in the morning on Thursday, October 5th. Another system looks like it's going to push on through sometime around the 8th and 9th of October with chances of widely scattered storms. We see another low-pressure system pass by to the north of us. The chance of a long line of rain and storms over eastern Kansas on the 11th through the 12th of October. So that's sort of a bird's-eye view on what is ahead. Meanwhile, low pressure continues over Illinois. We have a stronger low-pressure system in British Columbia and the Pacific Northwest. Those are the main weather makers, but close to home, all is quiet here. In northwestern Kansas, sunny with a high in the low 80s here this afternoon. Tonight's low 52. North central Kansas, sunny with a high in the low 80s. Tonight's low in the upper 50s. And in northeastern Kansas, sunny with a high in the mid 80s. Later tonight, to clear sky, our low in the upper 50s. And the outlook for southwestern Kansas, sunny, very warm and dry with a high close to 90. Clear tonight, our low near 60. And in southeastern Kansas, sunny, warm with a high in the low 90s today. Mostly clear, our low temperature in the low 60s. And in southeastern Kansas, variable clouds with sunshine today. Our high should be in the upper 80s, 62 tonight. Warm again Thursday with a high near 90. This is the Kansas Ag Network.